Must be Jesus. It said, let me say it again. It must be Jesus. Yeah. Let me say it again. Quiet. They not there yet.
All right now.
It must be Jesus. Yeah. Well, they didn't hear the choir. I said it must be Jesus. Yeah. I said it must be Jesus. It must be Jesus. It must. I said it must be. It must be. Must be. Must be. I'm feeling something over here. I said it must be Jesus. It must be. You know, I said it must be. It must be. It has to be Jesus. So nobody can make me feel the way I feel. I said it must be Jesus. I said it must be, it must be, unequivocally, it must be Jesus. See, nobody can make me feel the way I feel. But what I'm saying, he kind of makes me happy. It must be Jesus. When things happen in my life, I ought to be crying, but there's a joy now inside of me. And it must be Jesus. I'm running and there's nobody chasing after me. It must be Jesus. When I'm sick, I look to the hills for what's coming by. Must be Jesus. It must be. Must be Jesus. Hey, I'm not gonna play with you tonight. If you don't bother me, I won't bother you. But I gotta give Jesus some praise. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that it was Jesus that woke me up this morning. I didn't come to play with you tonight. I know without a shadow of a doubt, when I went to bed last night, it wasn't promised that I would wake up this morning. It must be Jesus. When I went to bed last night, I woke up this morning, I wasn't surrounded by the four walls of a grave. Old preachers used to say it like this, and the blood was still yet running warm in my body. It must be Jesus. And then, Sister Cook, I had the activities of my limbs. It must be Jesus. I was able to brush my own teeth. Must be Jesus. Clothe my own self. Must be Jesus. Was able to brush my hair. Look at them waves, y'all. It must be.
Jesus.
Must be Jesus. I hear church, Jerry. I hear church. It must be Jesus. We do give honor to the Spirit of Christ, to the shepherd of this house, Pastor Parris. Give God some praise for Dr. Parris. Amen. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. The Bible says that he's the watchman of your soul, Shiloh. Come on. Give God some praise for Dr. Parris in the house this evening. Amen. The Bible says that he's got to give an account for your soul. Give God some praise for First Lady Parris. She's in the house. Amen. tonight. Praise God. First Lady, lady, she's in the house tonight. And y'all ain't got to say nothing. I applaud my own self. Woo! Praise God. I also give God some praise for our worship leader, trustee, amen, in the house tonight. And my first daughter. I applaud her myself. Woo, woo. When you understand where she came from, you understand her praise. Amen. Sometimes we look down on people, wonder why they act the way they act. But if you realize where they came from, you'll understand why they praise him the way they praise him. Amen. And give God some praise for Shiloh Choir. Amen. I started acting funny. I had to fall back to Garrisonville because I'm in Stafford. We can ride home together. Praise God. Give God some praise for Josh. I missed him on last night. Maestro in the house. Delegate. Josh, what kind of socks you got on? Wow. When I grow up, I want to be like Josh. Amen. God, I give God some praise for all the kids, amen, being here, amen, and participating in worship. Amen. Help me to applaud the previous pastor of this church, amen. In the house, amen. Bless you, sir. And we got the ambassador. She's here, amen. Praise God for the ambassador being in the house as well, amen. All right. Union Bell in the house. Give God some praise for Union Bell, amen. Hey, Dignus Archibald, thank you for tea again. I mean when I drink your tea, I mean it just does something to me. it just clears me all up, amen. Jeremy, it just makes me feel like I could just preach for days.
Go ahead. Help yourself.
Hours. The kids that you can preach for hours if you want to, amen. Be here all by yourself, amen. Praise God. If you can't come to church and have fun, where can you have fun at? Let's go to work. If you would, for a moment, if you would turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at the 8th verse. I am conscious of the fact of the time, and that we do have kids tonight, so if you give me an amen, I won't preach so long.
Amen.
Bless you. 1 Kings chapter 17. I wanted to read verses 8 through 16, but I'm going to stop and we'll allow the Lord to do what he does.
Amen.
Verse 8 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Mm-hmm. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat it and die. Perhaps a subject, perhaps a thought tonight, Shiloh, the struggle is real.
Come on, man.
I come to talk to some real people this evening that have come to their own conclusion, their own surmise, their own theory that the struggle is real. The light bill is real. The car payment is real. The heating and oil bill is real. The pain in your body is real. The 8 prescriptions that you have to take, it's real. The job that you don't have, traffic on 95, it's real. Your kids and their issues, your spouse, it's real. The attitudes that you have to deal with when all you want to do is be left alone. Is there anybody in the house other than me that realize that the struggle, it's real? backdrop of the text, we know that there's a famine in the land because there's a drought. There is no water. Mm-hmm. The place, the comfort that God has sent the prophet has dried up. Has God ever sent you somewhere and provided you for a while and you were there, and while you were there, it dried up? Has God ever sent you somewhere and you were comfortable while you were there? You had a business that was comfortable. It was a comfortable place, but it dried up. The water, it ran out.
Yes, sir.
If you haven't realized that the struggle is real, maybe your water hasn't run out. Your sugar daddy hasn't run out. Your bank account hasn't run out. Your mother and your father haven't run out. The struggle, it's real. As we look at verse 8, when the water ran out, the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him saying, listen.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Come. Come means pause. Can I pause there for a moment? Listen, beloved, the struggle is real. And when your water runs out and when people all around you run out, that everything or persons that you depended in and on has run out because the struggle is real, you have to be like the prophet and wait on the word. Let me say it again. I said, but when the people that you have depended in and on have run out on you, you got to be like the prophet and wait for a word.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. Young people, when your so-called friends that you hang around with and you become different from them and don't do the same things that they wanted, y'all ain't going to help me here tonight. And you don't do the same things that they want you to do, they going to run out on you. But how you going to act when they run out on you? You got to be like the prophet and you just got to wait. You got to wait on a word. Why? Because the struggle is real. I'm struggling. I have run out of water, but I'm going to wait on the word. I'm struggling. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'm going to wait for a word. I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. I'm going to wait for a word. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, but I'm going to wait for a word. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. I don't know how I'm going to get my medicine, but I'm going to wait for a word. God will supply all of, y'all ain't got to say nothing, all of my needs according to his riches and his glory. I'm going to wait for a word. I'm sick, but I'm going to wait for a word. I'm healed by his stripes. I feel you. I know what's on your mind. You have every right to leave. You've done everything you know to do, and things still aren't working right in your life, but you got to wait on a word. I know you're upset and you're irritated and you're frustrated, but you can't go nowhere. You got to wait on a word. And when your water runs out, you need to hear a word. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. I say, wait on the Lord. When things are acting funny in your life, and your money is strange, and your change is gone, you got to learn how to wait on the word. When everybody around you seems like they're against you, you got to wait on the word. When nobody seems like they can understand what you're going to, lean not to thy own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, that he shall direct your path. You got to learn how to wait on the word. I'm not going to let you irritate me or frustrate me and push me out the way. I'm just going to wait on the word. We got to understand that we got to wait until we hear the clarity of God. I can't go nowhere until God tells me to go. I know that you're mad at me and you're upset at me, but I'm just going to stay right here until God tells me to go somewhere else. I need about 3 people in the house tonight that know without a shadow of a doubt, you got to learn how to wait on the word. First thing that you have to do for those of us that realize that the struggle is real is that you got to wait for a word from the Lord. I know I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything until I hear a word from the Lord. My next point is in verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. My next point is unusual source. I came prepared to work. During a famine, the first people to run out of food would be the poor and the widows.
Go ahead.
Most times they did not have a reserve to draw from. They relied on the generosity of others to meet their daily needs. So when God tells the prophet that he's going to use a widow woman to sustain him, feed him, nourish him, that's an unusual source. This is not for everybody. It's about 10 of us that can be transparent and not afraid to let the world know that our struggle is real. Take note that your next blessing is going to come from an unusual source.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, listen, it was Thanksgiving 2015, and Sister Bill, man, she cooked some good sweet potato pies. And Sister Bill, she had cooked me a sweet potato pie. And I went to her house to get the sweet potato pie. And as I went to the house, she not only had one sweet potato pie, but she had two sweet potato pies. And if you know Sister Bill the way I know Sister Bill, I go in to get the sweet potato pie, and she's got all these croissant sandwiches. She's got sausage, she's got ham. I mean, and I'm like, okay, where'd she get all these from? And you know, she's a widow. And I went there just to get, somebody go get this. I went there just to get a sweet potato pie. And she blessed me with all these croissant sandwiches. And I'm like, you know, I don't need all this stuff. But when I got home, my guests had arrived. And they were hungry for breakfast. Feeling something over there. They kind of slow over here. So I got a blessing from an unusual source. It's just unusual that you can go to the gas pump and somebody has prepaid gas for you. That's unusual. You can be shopping and not have enough money, and the person behind you pays for your grocery. It's unusual that you can be broke and someone shake your hand and put some money in it. It's unusual for IRS to send you a check and tell you that you paid too much. When the struggle is real, God has unusual source that he will use to be a blessing to you. I've learned that during the struggle, that it may not come when you want him to come, but help me here, Holy Ghost, but he's always on time. I've learned that during the struggle, Lord, anywhere you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I've learned that during the struggle that God has a ram in the bush. I've learned that during the struggle, how to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I've learned when I'm not in the struggle to give to those that are in the struggle, because you never know when you might be in the struggle. The same way that God blessed his preacher, his prophet, his pontificator with a blessing from an unusual source, he'll bless you too. Somebody need to hear me tonight. Your next blessing is going to come from an unusual source. God will use your enemies to pay your bills. It was unusual to feed 10,000 men with two fish and five loaves of bread. Unusual for God to tell a man to dip seven times in the Jordan and he would come clean of leprosy. Unusual for a man to catch a fish and there be enough fish, enough money to pay everybody's taxes. Unusual for Jesus to make a spitball, put it on a blind man's eyes. He was healed. Unusual for a woman to touch the garment of Jesus and become healed. Unusual as they went, they were healed. Your next blessing is going to come from an unusual source. You looking for tall, dark, and handsome, but you better take short, dark, and stubby. You looking for blue eyes, and you better take some brown eyes. Your next blessing is going to come from an unusual source. Somebody ought to hear me tonight. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. If you bless me at Wawa, help me, Holy Ghost, I'll praise you at Wawa. Lord, if you bless me while I'm standing in sheets, Lord, getting a cup of coffee, and somebody say, Pastor, don't worry about it, I got you. Lord, anyway, you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I got to move on to my next point, but it's about 10 of y'all on the pause right there for a moment and say, Lord, anyway, you bless me, I'll be satisfied. You looking for a raise on your job. God said, I'm going to give you a new business. Lord, anyway, you bless me, I'll be satisfied. You looking one way for a baby. God want to bless you another way.
Go ahead, now.
You want to study. But God said, take the candy. It's going to pay for God's going to give you an unusual blessing. It's going to come up when you don't get set up the coma. But Lord, anyway, you bless me,
I'll be satisfied.
It was unusual for a good woman to be able to closet. It was unusual. She shouldn't have it, but she had it.
That's right.
I said, she shouldn't have it, but she had it. She shouldn't have had it, but she had it.
Thank you, Lord.
She should not have had it, but she had it. Folks wondering why you doing so good. I shouldn't have it, but I got it.
Hey!
I said I shouldn't have it, but I got it.
Yeah.
You wondering why, how I got it. Then you praise God the way I praise God. Then you lift up your hands.
Yeah.
When you give God the praise, then you entitled. Now get what I got.
Yeah. Thank you.
Unusual blessing. Nicole, give me about 7 minutes, Nicole.
Amen.
Verses 10 and 11. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. Verse 11 says, and she was going to fetch it. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. My next point is that a closed mouth, closed mouth can't get fed. Let me rewind. The struggle is real. There's a drought in the land. He waits on a word from the Lord. The Lord tells him that there will be an unusual source, a widow woman, when he gets to where he is supposed to be, that will sustain him.
Come on.
Hey, can I just help myself out? When he gets to where he is supposed to be,
yeah.
There will be a woman there that's going to sustain him. He gets to where he's supposed to. He sees the widow woman there. If he never opens up his mouth to tell her what he needs, he will be able to look at his blessing, but he'll never be receiving his blessing. Can I parenthetically park right there for a moment? Could it be possible that the struggle has intensified? The struggle is so real to some of us because we never get to where God wants us to be. And when we do get there, we look at our blessing with the open opening without opening up our mouth.
Come on.
Help me, Holy Ghost. This doesn't happen at New Sight. Some folk come to church, the dwelling place of God, get here, see the blessing, and never open up their mouth. The church is not a group, it's not a club, it's not an organization, it's an organism that has a life, that has life dwelling from the place of God. And when we get to the place of God, when we get here, we should open up our mouths. We should give God some praise. I said when we get to the dwelling place of God, we ought to be able to open up our mouths and give God some praise. I said when we get to the dwelling place of God, we ought to be able to open up our mouths and give God some praise. I was at work today's Tuesday, and the game was on Sunday, and one of my employees, he was hoarse, and he couldn't talk on Tuesday from what he had did on Sunday. Now, don't act like that. Some of y'all still messed up from what y'all did on Friday. Yeah, he was all messed up from yelling and screaming while he was at the game. And I declare that if I can go to a football game and see men in their tights and helmets on run up and down the field and get all excited about men running up and down the field, I surely ought to be able to come to the household of faith and open up my mouth. Let me say it again. Some folk get excited when they see men up and down the field and score a touchdown and just lose their mind and come to the church and just sit there like a bum on a log, like God ain't never done nothing for you. But surely, I ought to be able to come to the household of faith and open up my mouth for a God that can do anything but fail. Surely, I ought to be able to open up my mouth and praise a God that has made a way out of no way. Surely, I ought to be able to thank God
my feet every now and then, and throw my hands in the air, and say, Lord, I thank you for making a way out of no way.
Listen, sit down, you're making me nervous. We don't get to the place where the Lord has told us to go. It's the church when things aren't going right, when you find yourself dealing with the struggles of life. It's the church, not the parish, that you find your unusual blessing. But you have to open up your mouth and tell somebody what you need. Because a closed mouth, it don't get fed. I said a closed mouth. Let me stop messing with y'all. I said a closed mouth. Let me stop playing with y'all. I said a closed mouth. Closed mouth, it can't get fed. In verse 12, I got 3 minutes. In order to make it through the struggle, you have to know two things. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel. And a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. All right. Come on. The first thing, Nicole, that you have to know while realizing that the struggle is real is that the Lord liveth. Uh-huh. You see that, right? Come on. Even though we are struggling, the Lord is, he's alive. That's where you should have gotten your shout on. Doesn't matter what I'm struggling with, as long as my Lord is alive. During your struggling process, we need to know that our Lord is, he's alive, y'all. I don't have time for any self-induced pity parties because my Lord is alive. I might not have 2 nickels to rub together to make a dime, but my Lord is alive. He's alive, and at any given time, he can step in and change my situation around. I said, he's alive, y'all. When I'm struggling, I need to know that the God that I serve is alive. He's not Confucius. He's not dead. He's not Buddha. He hasn't been dead. But I declare, my God is alive. And how do you know that he's alive, y'all? I can feel him all over me. I said, he's alive. I said, he's alive, Shiloh. I got one more point, but can I stop right there and let somebody know that he is alive? He's alive. He's alive, y'all. And when I'm going through my struggles in life, I need to encourage myself that my dead situation has to change. Why? Because I serve a God that is alive. I said my conditions have to change. Why? Because I serve a God that is alive. He's alive, y'all. When I can see the birds flying, he's alive. Able to suspend planes in the midair, he's alive. Able to keep cruise ships above the water, I tell you, he's alive. Able to keep a Redskin and Dallas Cowboy fan together, I come to tell you, he's alive. Got new sight, old sight, and gas filled out of sight. My God is alive. He's alive, y'all. My God is not dead. He's alive. Listen, the second thing that we learn from this woman who realized that the struggle is real is she Deacon Brown, she got something that the Lord can use to bless her.
Go ahead. Come on.
Listen, I can I confess?
Go ahead, man. Come on.
I haven't been saved all my life. That's a rough side over there. I have not been saved my entire life. I have not. And back in the day, we used to drink 40s. Okay. And we grew up poor.
Amen.
But we would ask one another, what you got on? We would say, well, what you got on? And he may have 30 cents, and And see, back then, we can get a 40 for $1.99.
Amen.
$2.07 with tax. But Jarrell, you had to have something on it.
She has something that she can put on it because an active participant in her own blessing. You got to be an active participant in your own blessing. You want the Lord to bless you, but what can you put on it? How can you become an active participant in your own blessing? You want your bills paid, but what can you put on it? Dr. Parrish, I'm alarmed that folk come to church and they won't help. And I believe that it's the responsibility for the church to help people.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to put something on it.
That's right.
Yeah, you want us to pay your gas bill that's $450, and when I ask you what you got on it, you ain't got nothing on it. I want to help somebody who has become an active participant. Maybe it don't happen on silo, but I want to help somebody that's an active participant in your own blessing. You have to be an active participant in your own blessing. What do you have that you can put in God's hands that he can bless you with? Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give unto you. You have to be an active participant. You have to put something on it. You have to be a participant in your own blessing. If you have to lower me down into the roof, I'm an active participant in my own blessing. Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall. He was an active participant in his own blessing. David danced until his clothes came out. He was an active participant in his own blessing. Peter preached until 3,000 souls got saved. He was an active participant in his own blessing. Daniel refused to eat the king's meat. He was an active participant in his own blessing. Come on, Tonto, let's go home. Jesus came down through 42 generations. He was an active participant in his own blessing. He walked the streets of Galilee. I tell you, he was an active participant in his own blessing. The Bible says that he went up on Golgotha's hill. Why? Because he was an active participant in his own blessing. The Bible says that they hung him from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. I declare he was an active participant in his own blessing. The Bible says that he dropped his head in the lap of his shoulders. I tell you, he was an all over the church.
Yes, sir.
It's real. It's real.
Yes.
It's real.
Yes.
The struggle.
Yes, sir.
It's real.
Amen.
But because he got up, we can get up. It's the struggle. It's real. You know, I'm going to open up the doors of the church, but that's a struggle all by itself.
Go ahead. Go
Because we have become so identified. We become so cute and so personal.
Go ahead.
That when saints want to, when sinners want to come, they're scared to come because you look like you got it going on.
All right now.
You're intimidating. You're creating a hostile praise environment.
Go ahead.
Because the truth of the matter is that you just got yourself together last week. So when we open up the doors of the church, folk are scared because everybody's watching.
Come on.
And this is the most important time of the service.
Amen.
Is where we search within ourselves and we tell ourselves that we want to do better.
Yeah.
That we understand that the struggle is real and the only way that we're going to make it is to hold on to God's unchanging
love. Amen.
Gotta be transparent.
Amen.
Kids, they don't never get themselves right because they think mom and daddy always did everything right.
Well,
we haven't did everything right, but we serve a God that is right.
That's right.
Amen.
So can I do it differently tonight?
Yeah.
Would everybody close their eyes and just drop your head?
Well,
if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus for yourself.
My Lord.
God wants to do a new thing in your life, and it starts with relationship. Gotta have a relationship, right? So if you're here tonight, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you want a difference,
right?
Just want you to throw your hands in the air. Just throw one hand in the air. And in your heart, I just want you to repeat after me, Lord, I need you. I need you right now. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Father, come into my life. Save me like only you can. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you said that you're saved and you're sealed to the day of redemption, nobody can take that from you. What you got to do now is you got to get with the pastor or get with a strong Christian that can help you, encourage you along the way. Perhaps there might be one here tonight who backslid and went back out into the world. My Bible teaches that God is married to the backslider. Would you come? Perhaps there might be one who's saved, sanctified, and satisfied, but you're not at church where you can call your own. Would you come? And listen, guys. Before I came to church tonight, I stopped by and I went to Popeyes. Yes, I did. And I got me some chicken. And I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to eat me a piece of chicken. But what I'm going to do before I eat that chicken, I'm going to wash my hands first.
Amen.
And then I'm going to eat that chicken.
Amen.
You see, after I've given you the invitation to Christian discipleship,
right,
the blood is no longer on my hands. I'm going to go home and wash my hands and eat some chicken. But if your life ain't right, it's not on me.
Amen.
It's on you.
Amen.
Amen. Today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
If everybody in the house is saved, sanctified, and satisfied, throw your hands in the air.
Amen.
Wave your hands like you just don't care.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. And if you know the struggle is real, just take your neighbor by the hand and say, the struggle is real. Hey, grab that other neighbor by the hand and say, yeah, the struggle is real. It's real. And listen, can you hold those hands? Mama, just hold those hands. Hold those hands. Those hands that you hold have been through something. The psalmist said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, those hands that you hold have been through a struggle. But somehow you made it. Somehow you made it. And we learned last night that whatever God has done once, He'll
do it again.
He'll do it again. I want you to squeeze that hand. Squeeze that hand.
Amen.
That's a hand of a conqueror right there.
Yes.
I said that's a hand of a conqueror that you see. That hand has been shipwrecked. That hand has been talked about. That hand has been scandalized along the way, but that hand is still here tonight. Throw that hand in there and say, Lord, I thank you for the hands that I hold. The same way, Lord, that these hands made it through the struggle, I know that I can make it through my struggle.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for these hands. These blessed hands that I hold. I lift these hands up to you tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for your covering. Thank you for watching
yes,
over
Lord.
These. Squeeze that hand. Squeeze that hand. Squeeze that hand. That's a hand that's been through something. That's a hand that has come out of a storm. But yet it still finds themselves in the household of faith. Squeeze that hand. Lord, I thank you for the hand that I hold.
Bless you.
Good night, disciples. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen. Amen. All right.